Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sarah and Vinny. Sarah and Vinny. On Alice at 97.3.
Tattoo. T-A-T-T-O-O. Text TATTOO to 72881. By the end of this hour, you get a chance at $1,000. That number again, 72881. It's a national contest, and someone is going to win $1,000. And it won't be you if you don't enter, so do it. Text TATTOO to 72881 by the end of this hour. Message and data rates apply. Listen for another code word next hour. We're doing it 8 times a day. 8K a day on Alice.
Check this out.
All right.
I just found an article that says, what is Survivor's Boston Rob worth? Mm. And I'm like, whoa, let me look at that. Yeah, what is he worth? What is your guess
about what he's dollars.
Worth? Not even close.
Oh, what's he worth?
The real take-home prize after taxes when you win $1 million on Survivor is $580,000.
Mm.
And according to this, Boston Rob is worth $1.3 million.
I'm surprised because did he also do Amazing Race? I don't know if he won.
He did with his wife.
And I would just think that he gets paid to do appearances.
You'd think.
Like,
yeah.
Like does he have a regular
day
job?
I don't know, but that's...
That's surprising. Surprisingly low.
Four kids, yeah, surprisingly low.
Yeah, four kids will cost you. Maybe he would be worth $8 million, but he's got four kids.
Huh.
Amba.
Art. I love that accent. Our text number is 800-400-3697. We've only got a couple minutes. The boys are...
Boys are back in town.
Roaring to go with their movies reviews. In just a couple minutes here.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild out boys that appear.
I was standing in line for a bathroom at a nice bar in SF, and a guy in front of me asked if I wanted to do coke with him in the bathroom.
Oh my God, what fun! So you said yes and ran right in.
I did the same thing as Yuzi. I looked in the mirror and thought, do I look like a cokehead? Good morning, everyone.
Don't worry. People who are on coke and offering it around to strangers at parties are not in their right mind.
Right.
You don't look like a cokehead. You just look like someone nearby that they can talk at.
If you could wish my daughter Ferris a happy 13th birthday, oh my God, I have a teenager. Happy birthday, Ferris.
Oh, Ferris. It's a great name. Happy birthday to you.
God.
Happy birthday to Ferris. Searching.
Sesame Street is on HBO Family.
Oh.
I record it for my granddaughter.
So the particular episodes we're talking about where Carly, the homeless Muppet, has a real-life friend, I think the girl's name is Celia, those are online only. So if you wanted to see those, her parents are apparently recovering drug addicts, and they have a kind of a real conversation about how lonely that can be and how you don't feel like you can share it with anyone. And then there's actual tips that children can use to cope, which is horrifying and heartbreaking and yet incredibly socially aware of the people at Sesame Workshop.
Well, it's a tough topic for sure.
Uh-huh. And, you know, it's sometimes it can really be hard to reach a kid who's going through that. So anyway, those are apparently only available online if you want to check it out. What a thing, huh?
Vinny, you need to get a tea kettle and pour over a coffee maker like Chemex, which I use and love. Oh, my wife goes, oh, you can just make French press in the morning. I'm like, no, I can't make French press in the morning.
You can make a single cup into the cup, though.
I don't want to. I just get the cold things and I'll just drink them cold. It's fine.
But yeah, tea kettle.
It's a minor inconvenience compared to the drama that could actually be happening.
Yes.
Right?
Sure.
Right.
Uh-oh.
I think they're ready.
I think they're ready. Yeah. Hit it.
Thank you.
We need them. Oh, thank God.
Actual human sound effect.
For 15 minutes.
We almost fell down. Thanks for propping us up.
Number one.
Oh,
number one.
Improv, man. Yes.
Boom.
All right, everyone. Yeah. Before we get to the big, big review of Gemini Man, we want to tell you about a film that all of Hollywood's going abuzz about. It's a South Korean film, and it's a film called Parasite. Hollywood's going crazy over this. It seems like the slam dunk for best foreign film at the Academy Awards already.
It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes.
Oh my God. Yeah. Really? The Palme d'Or?
It
wow.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Is that a golden palm tree? I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it's a palm leaf. But it's one of the few films that has 100% on Rotten Tomatoes after 130 critics reviewed it.
Yeah. Wow. So what's it about?
So I'll just jump in.
Well, Corey's best Parasite. Friend directed it.
Go ahead. Oh, so this will be totally non-biased. Okay.
Corey knows this guy really well.
No, I actually worked on a movie with the director. His name is Bong Joon-ho, director Bong. He directed several movies you might have seen. There's a movie called Okja, which is on Netflix. No. The Host, which is a Korean monster movie. Have you ever seen that?
Well, I read the book and they...
not that book.
Oh, not that book.
Not that host.
Okay.
Different host.
Different host.
Korean film about a giant monster that comes and basically kind of attacks South Korea. And this movie is called Parasite, so you might think it's about something like that. It's actually not.
That's too bad. I was sort of hoping it was about bugs.
Well, you know what? It is in some ways.
Oh.
But the monster might be inside.
Oh.
Let's just say that. It's called Parasite. It's directed by director Bong. And how can people see this?
And the Koreans knocked it out of the park. So be proud if you're Korean, because this is like, whenever a Persian movie comes out that's amazing, I'm like so over the moon excited. Mm-hmm. So
it's beautifully shot. The acting is great. The
I'll just tell you one
subtle
thing.
Performances. Yeah,
it really has to do with modern day class warfare. That's the only thing we want to tell you about the film. Mm-hmm. But we want you to go in blind.
It's not about bugs.
No,
metaphorically.
Okay.
There's a lot of metaphors in this movie, and we're not going to ruin it. It's called Parasite, and everyone should see it.
Give it 30 minutes. After 30 minutes, you'll completely understand what's going on. First 30 minutes, you'll be like, "What the heck am I watching?" And then
it's a long time.
I know it is. I know. We need attention span. It's a 2-hour movie. You got to read the whole thing.
All right.
All right, everyone. Here's your review of Gemini Man. This film stars Will Smith and Mary Elizabeth.
In an uncredited third role.
And Mary Elizabeth Winstead. You might remember her. She's the chick who was having the affair with Ewan McGregor. And now Mary and Ewan are good friends, or boyfriend, girlfriend. And it also stars
Relevant to the movie. Let's just put that out there.
Also stars Clive
Owen.
That's
where I know her from.
So. That's where you would know her
from. Oh, Clive Owen. I love him.
Clive Owen.
And directed by Oscar winner Ang Lee.
Always good.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So this is an action thriller. Will Smith is like this elite assassin, and he's targeted by a mysterious young soldier who can predict his every move. And if you've seen the poster, the young soldier is basically Will Smith's clone.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
To Will Smith.
So, of course, he can predict his every move.
Yes.
He's him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the thing that all the movie nerds are talking about, the special effects. Yeah. Corey, you're a movie nerd.
I'm a movie nerd.
Is it okay that I'm saying that?
Oh, of course.
The film is shot at 120 frames per second.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So
a typical film, so historically film when it was on film, played back at 24 frames per second.
Oh.
So what that means is that you're looking at 24 individual pictures that are flipping on the screen. Hmm. Your eye and your brain do the math, and they put it together, and they blend it together, and they create this kind of, you know, persistence of vision effect where you see what happens on screen. And what happens is that you see all of these images, and it looks like somebody is moving. But you also get things like motion blur, where things are moving across the frame, and they kind of streak through the frame. When you increase that to a higher frame rate, more frames per second, means that you actually get less of that. So it's a little closer to what we actually see with our eyes. We don't see blur so much unless, you know, something's like really
streaking by. Right.
But so there is this kind of movement, I don't know what you want to call it, like a experimentation that people are doing with higher frame rate in movies so that things are becoming more sharp, more crisp on the screen.
Is that really what we want?
Well, that's the debate.
Right.
So do we want to see that?
Because I actually feel like it. Sometimes I see stuff that is shot at a different frame rate, and it looks like I'm looking at sports mode on the original iPhone cameras.
A little too sharp, right?
Yeah, a little bit too much. A little bit, almost like videotape.
like just like videotape.
Right.
Sometimes you're looking at something, it's so clear that, that it
see,
stops
that I can tell
looking
that's
like
a
movie.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It looks like a soap opera or like something that's on the BBC.
So in my, I wouldn't call this my professional opinion, in my artistic opinion, in my the way I like to look at things, I think it's nice to leave a little gap, you know, like a little blur or a little something out of focus or something that you have to fill in your mind and your imagination what something could be, could look like. This idea of making it super sharp, super crisp feels to me gimmicky. Like I'm looking at something, I'm like, well, it calls more attention to itself than to just, listen, I'm never going to believe that those people are really there doing that thing. Right.
Sometimes you can lose yourself in something.
Let me ask you a question. Are they doing this because TVs and other viewing devices are getting so good that they're trying to keep up with technology, or is this just a gimmick?
To some degree. I mean, you've got 4K TVs, right?
Right.
So you've got these higher resolution TVs that are sharper, that are beautiful, that have incredible images on there. So, yeah, I think some of it is let's advance the content to match the devices that we have to screen on them.
Got it.
Yeah.
So how did Will Smith look?
So because of that, because you've got this incredibly high frame rate and very crisp picture, and you've also got a digital Will Smith that is sharing the screen with a real Will Smith. So for, I think, for the ideal audience member of this, you're going to look and go, wow, that looks just like Will Smith talking to Will Smith. That's amazing. And for me, I went, Will Smith's talking to CG Will Smith the entire movie.
Oh, that, so that's one of them me. Is clearly CG?
I wouldn't say clearly, but I think...
At the end, it's clear.
I never...
Is it always... Is the bad guy always CG Will Smith, or sometimes CG Will Smith the real...
We're not saying good guy, bad guy here. We're just saying that there is a CG Will Smith, and there is a
young,
Will Smith.
Young Will Smith
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
Oh.
How was the story? Did it remind you of any other movies?
So many. So let me just say a few nice things about Ang Lee. Ang Lee, the director of this movie, has done everything. I mean, he has done every genre. I mean, he did Sense and Sensibility. He did Crouching Tiger. He did Brokeback Mountain.
Separate. No. Oh,
he did Hulk.
Sure.
He did the Hulk movie.
This guy, he's amazing.
He did Life of Pi. He did one
so
of my favorites.
So this must be great.
He did The Ice Storm. You ever see that? Sigourney
no.
Weaver?
I didn't see that.
Oh, it's a great movie. Mm. And so this is a guy who's not afraid in a lot of ways to tackle interesting genres, interesting types. And this particular thing, the sort of sci-fi clone story, he blew it.
Oh.
He blew man. It.
That's yeah. a bummer because this seems like my kind of movie.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a talented, amazing filmmaker who tells great stories. And in this one, you can't quite get past the technology.
Can I get past it?
Yeah, you can. I think Corey's being overly harsh because he's super nerdy.
So Hooman...
Oh boy, here we go.
Throughout the film, Hooman kept leaning over to me, and I would be jotting down in my notebook with my super pen that lights up in the dark, and I was writing things like, not buying it, and Hooman's like, oh my god! Doesn't this look incredible? I can't believe how great this is! So Hooman...
Oh.
After the
so
fact.
So I might like it.
You might.
Yeah, I you know.
You're just a CG nerd.
Here's the thing. The story.
Corey?
The thing is, here's the problem. Corey just rattled off Ang Lee's resume, and when you hear that resume, you're expecting groundbreaking every single time. So this isn't groundbreaking for him, but it's still a super entertaining movie. There's two particular fight scenes that are really great, one with motorcycles and one in the catacombs.
Yeah.
And they're
all
both
right.
super memorable.
Totally.
I mean... Look, why do people go to films?
They go to films to see people fight in catacombs.
That's right, and to escape.
Yes.
And
yes.
at the end of the
From
day,
the catacombs,
Corey.
Apparently.
The first thing I thought of was Teneck. No?
Oh.
What you is don't
Teneck?
Go to films to
Teneck. You don't know necking.
Oh, Teneck. Yeah.
We're so far removed from
that's,
necking.
That's what we do. And that's
neck.
The other thing that Hooman tried to do.
Neck. Neck.
Lucky.
I got to use my magic pen and write a few things down. Stop necking Hooman.
Corey, do you think this will be a good escape for most people?
I think most people would enjoy this. I think it's, you know, it's kind of a by the numbers, you know, kind of Bourne Identity-esque kind
nice.
Of film. You know, it's that. It's an escapist, you know, kind of spy thriller. It hits all of those notes. I'm also, you know, I want to be clear. I think that technologically, they did a good job. It's not bad CG, you know. The people, Weta Effects in New Zealand, they did most of the visual effects.
Tell
in
them who Weta did.
They did, like, Planet of the Apes and the Lord of the Rings movies.
Oh,
like,
those
they're
are great.
Really good. They're the top of their game, that kind of thing. And so they did a great job. I think most people would enjoy. If you like this kind of movie, you know, it's got John Wick-y fights that kind of thing. You know, it's got all of that. And then it's got a little, what's the Lindsay Lohan movie where she plays herself?
Herbie.
A little Herbie.
Parent Trap.
Oh, Parent Trap. Freaky Fry. I don't know. It's got a little of that, you know, like Will Smith talking to young Will Smith. So it's a little bit of everything.
One last question. Clive Owen. It seems like when you cast Clive Owen, he now has to be the bad guy.
Clive Owen plays a good bad guy.
How do you rate his accent?
Well, how should his accent be if he's
What's he supposed to be? He's the director of, like, the NSA.
Yeah.
And yet, I don't know, that British accent just keeps, like, coming through the whole film.
Yeah, yeah.
I wish you would work with a speech therapist.
Again, it's a little by the numbers. I think when you got the British speaking bad guy or
case.
Not sure, you know, that kind of thing. He's a complicated character. But I just think that as actors go, I enjoy watching Clive Owen. I think he's a good guy on screen and he does a good job. He served the role.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sum it all up, let me just say this. I didn't hate this movie. It has a lot of really amazing cinematography. It held my attention.
You didn't just not hate this movie. You love this movie.
I liked it. You were leaning over trying to neck with Corey, telling him how much you loved it.
There was so much necking.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that?
This film is ultimately one thing. It's an altar to Will Smith. A place where he is literally in every frame. He's the good guy. He's the bad guy. He's the hero. He's the villain. If you love Will, you're going to love this film. Because this is really all it is. It's just Will Smith's face the entire time.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it three. I wrote three, but I'll give it 3.25 personal rocks.
Okay. I will sum it all up by saying that I did not like Gemini Man.
Jeez.
I thought Gemini Man was, while it was a by-the-numbers film, it felt more like a technological experiment than a movie. I felt like long scenes of Will Smith talking to Will Smith with obligatory shots of young Will Smith turning his head to the side just so we could make sure that over-the-shoulder shot, we're reminded that this is a CG guy, and then he'll turn his face back. So it's like we couldn't just look over the shoulder of that guy. So filmmakers, when you are using technology, don't go over the top and make us have to look at the technology. Let us lose ourselves in the story. Also, if you go to this movie with Hooman, resist the urge to neck with Hooman.
Right.
He will occasionally
God,
try.
Thank you for the reminder. I'm constantly forgetting not to neck with Hooman.
Do you have anything you want to mention? Oh, what are you giving it?
I'll give it two bagels, pretty dry. No toppings.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Just dry.
Just toasty.
Overcooked.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's one of the bagels CGI.
Yeah, yes. The top half with a CGI top half.
Everyone knows the top half is
yes,
the bad
one
half.
One of the two bagels will be a CG bagel. And that's my review.
Did you want to mention anything real fast?
Oh, yeah. I sure do. Corey Rosen, that's me. I'll be performing at Bats Improv tomorrow night, Friday night, in Fright Day Night Improv. It's kind of like Creep Show improvised. So we'll make up scary stories for your Halloween pleasure.
And is it improv.org?
Improv.org.
Listen, they got they've been around so long, they got improv.org.
That's it.
That's Improv. They're amazing. It's never the same show. I've been to many of those shows, and they're excellent.
And one last thing. Next week, me and Corey will be back.
Oh, yay. Boy, he's a regular now.
And
it's Corey all the
we'll
time.
We'll be reviewing Maleficent.
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
Me too. Super excited.
I loved the first one so much.
With an Angelina Jolie CG also. No, it's not true.
Did you already see it?
I have not seen it.
Okay, I can't wait for that. All right, thanks, you guys. Great job.
All right, bye.
Sarah and Vinny.